Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from the words of John Flavel, the English Presbyterian. We introduced his work last time. It was called The Faithfulness of God, The Saint's Refuge. We did part one. We're going to part two of that right now. John Flavel. Let's view, he says, the faithfulness of God as it relates to the many great and precious promises made to his people for their security, both in their temporal concernments and spiritual concernments, that is, concerns. We find the faithfulness of God pledged for the security of his people, their spiritual and eternal concerns, against all their dangers and fears threatening them on that account, and that more especially in these three respects. Number one, it is given them as their great and best security for the pardon of their sins. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Our greatest danger comes from sin. Guilt is a fountain of tears. Only a pardoned soul can look other troubles in the face boldly. As guilt begets fear, so pardon produces courage. And God's faithfulness in the covenant is, as it were, that pardon office from whence we fetch our discharges and acquittances. I, says Isaiah, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Isaiah 43:25. The promises of remission are made for Christ's sake, and when made, they must be fulfilled for his own sake, that is, his faithfulness's sake. Number two, it is engaged for the perseverance of the saints and their continuance in the ways of God in the most hazardous and difficult times. This was the encouragement given them in 1 Corinthians 1. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ah, Lord, might those Corinthians say, the powers of the world are against us, suffering and death are before us, a treacherous and fearful heart within us. Aye, but yet fear not. Christ shall confirm you, whosoever opposes you. Though the world and your own hearts be deceitful, yet comfort yourselves with this, your God is faithful. And number three, the faithfulness of God is given by promise for his people's security in and encouragement against all their sufferings and afflictions in this world. Quote, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. End of quote of 2 Thessalonians 3:2-3. He prays they may be delivered from absurd, treacherous, and unfaithful men who would crush and betray them to ruin. But this is proposed as their relief, that when the treachery of men shall bring them into troubles, the faithfulness of God shall support them under and deliver them out of those troubles. They shall have spiritual supports from God under their deepest sufferings from men. God's faithfulness is engaged for his people's indemnity and security amidst the temporal and outward evils whereunto they are liable in this world, and that either to preserve them from troubles or to open a seasonable door of deliverance out of trouble. In both, or either of which, the hearts of Christians may be at rest in this troublesome world. For what need these troubles fright us, which either shall never touch us, or if they do, shall never hurt, and much less ruin us? Well, having taken a short view of God's faithfulness in the promises, it will be a lovely sight to take one view of it more, as it is actuated and exerted in his providences over his people. Believe it, Christians, the faithfulness of God runs through all his works of providence, whenever he goes forth to work in the world. Faithfulness is the girdle of his reins, Isaiah 11:5. It is an allusion to workmen who, going forth in the morning to their labor, gird their loins or reins with a girdle. Now, there is no work wrought by God in this world, but his faithfulness is as the, quote, girdle of his loins. The consideration whereof should make the most despondent believer gird up the loins of his mind, that is, encourage and strengthen his drooping and discouraged heart. Those words of God, which are wrought in faithfulness and pursuit of his eternal purposes and gracious promises, should rather delight than affright us in beholding them. It plucks out the sting of David's affliction when he considered it was in very faithfulness that God had afflicted him. But more particularly, let us behold with delight the faithfulness of God making good six sorts of promises to his people in the day of their affliction and trouble. Number one, the promises of preservation. Two, the promises of support. Three, the promises of direction. Four, the promises of provision. Five, the promises of deliverance. Six, the promises of ordering and directing the event to their advantage. Number one, there are promises in the word for your preservation from ruin. And what you read in those promises, you daily see the same fulfilled in your own experiences. You have a promise in Psalm 57:3, "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up," Selah. "God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Say, now, have you not found it so? When hell hath sent forth its temptations to defile you, the world its persecutions to destroy you, your own heart its unbelieving fears to distract and sink you, hath not your God sent forth all his mercy and his truth to save you? Hath not his truth been your shield and buckler? May you not say with the church, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Number two, as you have seen it actually fulfilling the promises for your preservation, so you may see it making good all the promises in his word for your support in troubles. That is a sweet promise that says, "I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him," Psalm 91:15. You have also a very supporting promise, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness," Isaiah 41:10. Oh, how evidently hath the faithfulness of God shone forth in the performance of his word to you in this respect. You are his witnesses. You would have sunk in the deep waters of trouble if it had not been so. So speaks David, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever," Psalm 73:26. Have you not found it so with you as it is in 2 Corinthians 12:10? "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God's strength has been made perfect in your weakness. By this you have been carried through all your troubles. Hitherto hath he helped you. Three, as you have seen it faithfully fulfilling the promises for your preservation and support, so you have seen it in the direction of your ways. So runs that promise in Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Certain it is that the way of man is not in himself, Jeremiah 10:23. Oh, how faithfully hath your God guided you and stood by you in all the difficult cases of your life. Is not that promise faithfully fulfilled to a tittle? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," Hebrews 13:5. Surely you can set your seal to that. In John 17:17, thy word is truth. Had you been left to your own counsels, you had certainly perished. As it is said of them in Psalm 81:12, I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Number four, as there are promises in the word for your preservation, support, and direction, so in the fourth place, there are promises for your provision, as in Psalm 34:9, the Lord hath promised that they that fear him shall not want. When they are driven to extremity, he will provide. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them, Isaiah 41:17. And is not this faithfully performed? He that hath given meat unto them that fear him, he will ever be mindful of his covenant, Psalm 111:5. In all the exigencies of your lives, you have found him faithful to this day. You are his witnesses that his providences never failed you. His care hath been renewed every morning for you. How great is his faithfulness! Number five, you also find in the word some reviving promises for your deliverances. You have a very sweet promise in Psalm 91:14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. And again, Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. You have done so, and he hath made a way to escape. Our lives are so many monuments of mercy. We have lived among lions, and yet we have been preserved. The burning bush was an emblem of the church, miraculously preserved. And number six, there are promises in the word for the ordering and directing all the occurrences of providence to your great advantage. And so it is promised that all things shall work together for good to them that love God, Romans 8:28. Fear not, Christians, however you find it now, whilst you are tossing to and fro upon the unstable waves of this world. You shall find, to be sure, when you come to heaven, that all the troubles of your lives were guided as steadily by this promise as ever any ship at sea was directed to its port by the compass or by the North Star. We will stop there. The next time we will talk about applications, whatever remains to be applied to your situation from these teachings. That will be next time. Thank you so much for being here, for listening. Please look around my site while you're here. We have over 3,300 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers, persecution stories from North Korea in English and Korean, Bible studies on a number of subjects, and a blog. If you desire more fellowship, consider visiting my YouTube channel. It's known as Pasture Lands, or buy one of my books at Amazon.com. Contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll tell you about our Zoom meetings and give you a link to them if you're interested. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. This audio is being released on June the 14th, 2022. Lord willing, we'll get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.